And so in the first session, we're going to be looking at the gospel mandate, the template that will help us understand what we're doing. And then in the second session, after coffee and pastries, happy day, indeed, like we need any more food, we'll be looking at our gospel ambitions. But let me just set the context for you to remind you of the process that we've been going through, how we got to where we are as elders. As you know, over the last year, we've been thinking hard about, in part, how to respond to God's blessing in growing us as a church. And so we started to think as elders. We met folk from the FIEC to help us in our thinking. We had a number of retreats where we thought and dreamt and prayed. And we got to the point where, as we reported back in June, we decided to take the decision to not plant at this stage. And we decided this in listening to you guys, but also observing what was around us, that there was no obvious place to plant at this stage. As we mapped out churches, as we thought about where we all lived, there didn't seem to be a pattern or an immediate gospel need that we could see. And so we decided, as we said, for now, we would grow. Now, in taking that decision, we didn't want to just make it into fixing the space problem on a Sunday morning. That was all we needed to think about. We're going to have to think about that. But at this point, we wanted to think much bigger. We wanted to start to think of a much bigger plan, as it were. And so what we did was we went back to basics. We wanted to identify, as it were, our biblical values and aims that would then... Are we there? Is this working? Here we go. We wanted to identify our biblical values and aims that would then shape our mission template, what we do, how we do things, that would then give us our gospel ambitions, what it is we want to achieve, that would then result in our actions and outcomes. You can see how these things all flow from values and aims to our mission template we're looking at this morning, which then also flows into our gospel ambitions, which then hopefully will give us, this is what we're going to do. So what are our values and aims? What does it mean biblically to be a church? What is distinctive about us as CCHH? And I don't think any of these will surprise you. But as we thought about, we identified that we wanted to be Christ glorifying. We want Jesus to be glorified in every aspect of our lives and in all that we do as a church. We wanted to be Bible-centered. So expository preaching and multiple word ministries. So be it with our seniors, be it with young people, children, that the word was being faithfully taught in the power of the Spirit. We wanted to be prayerful. It's what Ray was saying, wasn't it, last night, that a growing church is a praying church. But more than that, we wanted to express our dependence, don't we, on God. We can't do anything without him. And it's one of the reasons why we've been encouraging increased prayer meetings. So the second week of the month, we have those two extra prayer meetings, Monday lunchtime, Friday morning. That's why we have day of prayer and the week of prayer. We want to be a prayerful church. That's why we have the evangelism prayer meeting on a Sunday morning. We want to be praying for God's help and for his work. We want to be a loving and welcoming church. That's an obvious thing to say. But we want to be concerned for all. We're a family. We want to express that we're a family. We want to care for one another. We want to be engaged. By engaged, we mean we want to engage with our culture. We want to engage with our community, serving them, understanding them. We want to involve all members in using their God-given gifts in his service through their whole lives in all their occupations. So we want to see all members involved and equipped to serve, yes, in the church, but also equipped to serve in their homes, equipped to serve in their workplaces, to make a difference where they are, to use the gift that the Lord has given them in the various spheres where he has placed them. We want to be connected with other gospel partners. We didn't want to be isolationists. That's why we're part of the SGP and the FIEC and the HHDEF And you can test me what those mean later. We wanted to be a generous church. And I think that's one of the distinctives of CCHH. It's part of the heritage as a church. I don't say that to blow our own trumpet. But I think in God's goodness, one of the things that has marked us out over the years, the decades, is that we've sought to be generous. Generous with our resources. Generous in supporting other local churches. Seeking to be generous with missionaries and workers further afield than just Hayward's Heath. We want to be a generous church. And we said, look, we do all of this, and here's the aim, as it were. So that, shall I just move over here? Wait, that help? Doesn't help. Here we go. We do all of this, here's the aim, so that God is glorified, and by his grace and power, many are converted and grow as disciples in living, serving, and witnessing to their families, the church, and the world. That's what we're aiming to do. It's not a surprise, is it? It's just what the Bible commands us to do. God is glorified by his grace and power. Many are converted, grow as disciples in living, serving, and witnessing to their families, the church, and the world. There's the values and the aims of what we're seeking to be. Now, with that in mind, as it were, as the foundation, we then began to think about what we want to do, how we do that as a church, what kind of church that we want to be. So we came up with what we call our mission template or mission mandate. And we made it into an acronym, generous. It's one of the distinctives of CCHH. And so we wanted to be known as a generous church. So if you said, what is Christ Church? It's aiming to be a generous church where G is growing the church of Jesus Christ. E, equipping the saints to serve. N, networking with gospel partners. E, engaging the culture and community. R, reaching the unreached for Jesus. O, one anothering with care and service. U, upward, looking in worship and prayer. S, sending gospel workers to the world. We're going to go through each of those and what that means and just hear a little bit about those. And I'm hoping that as we go through, you'll see, actually, these are just biblical hopes, that they also encapsulate our values and our aims. And they begin to help us think what it is we do and how we do things. And it's worth saying that we've not worked through every single detail intentionally. We've not come up with every idea. Because part of what we want to begin this morning is to allow for discussion and time for you to begin to add to each of these areas. For you to say, actually, you know, for the last few years, I've just had an overwhelming desire to be involved in this ministry, and I can see how it would fit in one of these areas, and discover this morning, actually, there are others who are sharing that same desire. And so what we're going to do at the end of the session is we're going to break into the eight groups and going to ask you to go to kind of the top two that you are on your heart, that kind of strikes a chord with you, and spend 10 minutes in each just kind of buzzing around some ideas and discussing and thinking. And then we're going to ask you to put your name on post-it notes and say, yeah, I want to be part of a team maybe that will help to think that through. But I'll say a bit more about that at the end. But I wanted that just to lodge that. So as we're going through, you're beginning to think, yeah, that's where I get excited. That's what I believe the Lord is putting on my heart to think about, to do. We can't do everything. But we want to start to see, is there some things that the Lord is stirring up among us? And we want to do that because we've not done this to say, hey, here's the template for what the elders are going to do or what the staff team is going to do. Now, remember, one of our values is all members involved in all areas of our lives. So let's begin then. Firstly, then, growing the church of Jesus Christ. What does that mean? Well, as we were seeing last night, Acts 2:41, Acts 6, verse 1. Highlights, doesn't it, as we saw through our Acts series, that a healthy biblical church will grow. That's the pattern. So we read Acts 2, verse 41. Those who accepted his message were baptized, and about 3,000 were added to their number. And so as we think about growing, we want to think about how do we grow 20s, 30s? How do we grow seniors work? How do we grow our youth children's work? How do we grow our community groups? How do we then accommodate them? So under this area, we're going to have to think about spacing issues, but we're thinking about how we grow these groups, and not just for the sake of being large, but for the sake of seeing people come to know and love Jesus. Second area is equipping the saints to serve. And again, we see this in Acts, you see it elsewhere in the Bible, but Paul, as he says goodbye to the Ephesian elders in Acts 20:20 and following, he says this: "You know that I have not hesitated to preach anything that would be helpful to you, but have taught you publicly and from house to house." And then when he writes to the Ephesians, the letter of Ephesians, he says, Ephesians 4, he spells it out, doesn't he? That it's the equipping of the saints to serve. That's what he's done. And that's what we want to be doing. We're doing it already, but we want to do more. And I'm going to invite Jim Jacobs just to come and share a little bit about how he's been involved in some of the training that's been going on at the moment, and just to say a little bit about what has been happening once a month on a Sunday evening. So just share, Jim, when do we meet, who's there, who's it for a start?
We meet once a month on a Sunday evening after the evening service at Mark's house, and I think there are currently seven of us, and it's supposed to be young men's discipleship, isn't it?
It was young men's, but then we invited Jim.
So we made it men's. Yes, it's men's, yeah. And we, what's the rest of the question?
No, that was it.
That was it.
That's right.
Senior
moment.
We're okay. Senior moment.
What is it that we do?
There are three main things we do. So the first thing we do, each week, one of us is given a Bible passage, and we prepare a study, a devotional. And how we should, it's basically understanding that passage and how we apply it to our lives. And then once we've given that, once we've given the devotional, we discuss it amongst ourselves, any helpful hints, things we might have missed out. And then Mark will tell you it was absolute rubbish and you've missed the point of the passage altogether. No, you don't. We just get helpful comments on how we could have perhaps expanded on certain ideas, whether we understood the passage completely, tips on that. So that's the devotional bit.
So that's the first half an hour. Second half an hour, what do we do?
We'll either do a study on church history. So we unpack the history of the church right from the very beginning and follow it through the years, see how it came to how it is now, and also see where various parts of the church went wrong, went in different directions. And I like history, so I find that particularly useful.
And then the last half an hour?
Last bit is about theology. So for somebody of my age, that can be quite tricky, because it's actually incredibly complex. I understand the application and interpretation, but it is really useful. And I have to admit, it gives me a real appreciation of what our elders, their understanding, because it's hard work.
And what's the value in it? So how does it kind of cash out, as it were, every day? Because obviously we're not just doing it for head knowledge. That's a good thing. We want people to grow in their knowledge of God. That enables us to understand and worship him more, better. But how does it play out in everyday life?
I think the biggest thing is being able to, gives me a greater understanding of the Bible itself, so it's you can have a better understanding of how you get to the meaning of it. And I guess the biggest thing is the application in life. So, you know, we are supposed to equip ourselves to be able to be effective disciples and engage with those around us. So from my point of view, it gives me a greater understanding overall of how I need to apply it to my own life, as a husband, as a parent, and also engaging with the people that I come into contact on a daily basis. and it covers every angle. You know, we've got the theology, we've got the church history, and then the application of the gospel. So all those things, it just equips you in a much better way. And in my capacity as a self-employed gardener, I get plenty of opportunities to speak to people. And I can be quite chatty at times.
Really?
Yeah, can get quite chatty. So
I'm surprised there, Jim.
So there's a great opportunity to bring all those things into use. And you know, that's effectively what we're called to do. Extend the kingdom, grow the kingdom. And having that understanding and an understanding of how to apply it is a great help.
Thank you.
Okay.
Just equipping guys to serve, see the church as well, that will have some benefit, but within life, as a parent, as the live out as husband and in the workplace. And if you're thinking, actually, I'd love to do something like that, then do speak to us. But there is other training that goes on that we're already doing. You may or may not be aware that the elders, once a month, meet with all the leaders, community group leaders and others, leaders to meet with them, to train with them. And we do a similar thing. We spend half an hour helping one another teach the Bible. We spend half an hour thinking about leadership and reading a book together on leadership. And then we spend half an hour looking at a particular area within the life of the church where we're training guys to be able to lead in those areas. So this last Monday, we were looking at how to lead small group work. How do we do our Tuesdays? How do we do that together and helping one another think that about? And all the elders are involved in doing that on a rotating basis. So all elders are exposed and training in that. And we're aware, look, we're very aware that we are thinking of how we train both younger and older women as well and what that looks like. We've done some, but we want to do more. We're conscious that we want to train guys not just to serve in the church, but not just guys, but girls and boys, how to serve in the workplace, how to be effective in our homes. And so we're thinking about how we do that. And we've got some ideas, but we'd love to hear more. We believe it to be a key part of church life. So equipping the saints to serve. The next area is networking with gospel partners. Again, you read Acts and Acts 14, 21 and following. We read of Paul and Barnabas preaching the gospel in Derbe, and where they won a large number of disciples. And then we read they returned to Lystra and Iconium and Antioch, strengthening the disciples and encouraging them to remain true to the faith. They went to other churches and partnered with them and helped them. And they're seeking to support and train these other churches. Paul speaks of such partnership, doesn't he, in Philippians 1. We saw it in 3 John as well, where John describes it there. And we want to play our part in the Sussex Gospel Partnership, the SGP. We want to play our part in the FIEC, the Fellowship of Independent Evangelical Churches. We want to play our part in HEDF, Haywards Heath District Evangelical Fellowship. And I think we particularly have a heart for small FIEC churches. And we're thinking, can we do things to help them? Maybe we can do some lay leader training. We recognize these guys often have elders or deacons who have no training or experience, and look to how we can get alongside them. How can we send teams? We do that already, preaching teams. Can we send teams to do mini missions, holiday Bible clubs, so that we want to see healthy gospel presence around Haywards Heath and beyond in these churches? And how can we play our part in that? And particularly as we think later as well in networking, partner to plant churches in our region. We then want to engage with culture and community. And again, you see this in Acts 17. Paul, as he wanders around Athens and he notes these various gods and engages with them in it, he says, doesn't he? I see that in every way you're very religious. He engages with the culture, and we want to do that. We want to understand it, and where we can speak into it. We want to start to think about how do we engage with the arts and the politics and mercy ministries. We want to engage with the community around us. Ray was helpfully saying last night that the various ways in which to reach people. And we're never going to get alongside. We'll never probably have friendship with the prostitutes and the drug dealers in Haywards Heath. So what kind of things can we do that will engage them? How do we care with them? And we already have organisations approaching us, talking through Emily Andrews, a rape crisis group who'd like to kind of see if we can help them in some way, ministering to women in that need. It's just an idea, a way of getting alongside folks that we might not be able to do. And of course, we're doing it already through the play group We're doing it through the cafe, and Tom's going to come just give us an update on the cafe and maybe show us a few pictures of the...
Hello. So I'm just going to give you a very brief update on what we've done this year to do with the cafe. But to do it, I'm going to use a quick illustration to explain what the purpose of the cafe is, just in case you're new. So on screen, this is a picture of the largest glass-bottomed bridge in the world. It recently opened in China. And I think this bridge is significant in relation to the cafe because it bridges two sets of people together. And I think this is ultimately what the purpose of the cafe is. That is to bridge people to church or to the gospel and ultimately to Jesus. So the idea of the cafe is we want to try and make it as nice a place as possible to invite as many people in, get them through the door so that they may be in some way exposed to some kind of Christian literature or a Christian person or redirected to a church event where they might hear the gospel. So ultimately it's what I'd classify as a bridge venue. So in terms of this year, so we, just in case you're new to the church, the cafe was losing a bit of money. So this year we looked at how we could try to improve it and improve revenue and also improve outreach, the two main aims. And this year we've done a project to try to improve the design of the cafe. So we've done a refurb, which Aaron might just stick the photos on. So we've done a lot of work to improve the interior design of it. And also, later this year, almost as a phase two, we're going to try to do a bit of work in terms of improving the outreach. And that's a bit more complicated, so we'll probably start to slowly introduce new events. But ultimately, we want to try and get as many people through the door of the cafe, just so they might be exposed to some kind of a church event. And ultimately, if we can get loads of people through that door, it's a nice place to be, then we might be able to get more people in the church and hearing the gospel. So that, in essence, is...
Brilliant. There we go. It's exciting, isn't it? Just what the guys have done and work with Jonathan and the team down there. Just to begin to think about how we use the cafe. And we're already seeing Wednesday evenings, working with youth through our links with Affinity Sutton. And is there more that we can do? How do we engage with the culture and community? Next one. Oh, reaching the unreached for Jesus. Again, you see that in Acts, don't you? Acts 1:8, Jesus says, "But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you'll be my witnesses in Jerusalem, in all Judea and Samaria, and to the ends of the earth." And of course, Matthew 28, the Great Commission itself. And again, look, we're doing this. We run Christianity Explore courses. We have TOTS. We have Curry Nights. We have Saltworks Friends. We have youth and children outreach. So it's not that we're not doing it, but can we do more? How do we reach the internationals in Hayward's Heath, the growing international community? Is there things we can do to do that? How do we reach the villages? These villages that often has a limited gospel presence or no gospel presence. What can we do to reach them? How do we witness to them? And again, we need to think some more about this. And we use the word intentional. Can we be more intentional in what we're doing and how we and the courses we put on and when we put them on? So reaching the unreached for Jesus. And then one anothering with care and service. Again, one of the marks of the church in Acts is their love and care for each other. So we read Acts 4:32, "All the believers were one in heart and mind. No one claimed that any of their possessions were their own, but they shared everything they had." See in Acts 6 and the care of the widows, and Ray will look at that a little bit more for us this evening. And then this picture just kind of building one another up. You see all the way through, particularly the epistles, and particularly see in Ephesians 4 and 5, the whole one another language, helping one another. Now again, we're doing this. You know, there are guys who are meeting with other guys to disciple them. There are women who are meeting with other women to disciple them, reading the Bible with them, helping them to grow in their faith and understanding of the Lord Jesus. And pastoral care is happening. And people again alongside and being cared for and helping one another. And we're seeking to want to do more of that. And how we do that, particularly, are there things that we can do, parenting courses and marriage courses that will help us with our parenting and enrich our marriages. And we're currently running a marriage course, and Stephen and Ruth Nichols are going to just come and share a little bit about what's been happening in that. I can't see where they are. There they are.
Well, on Friday evenings over the summer, Ruth and myself have been running a course called Marriage Matters, which is based on a book of the same title, Marriage Matters, by Winston Smith. So we've been doing five Friday evenings. We've got one more to do with two couples and ourselves, so that's six of us. And Ruth and I found it very beneficial ourselves, just looking at our own marriages, our own marriage. is that funny? it's looking at subjects like the idols of the heart, things that we idolise, which prevent us from loving our partner as we should. One thing that comes to mind is the difference between manipulation and love. We might do something that seems loving to somebody, but actually it's just manipulation. I have to say, Ruth and I found it really beneficial ourselves because we're looking at this material for the first time. We've really been encouraged by the response from those that have come. What else? Do I need to know? We just found it really encouraging and really helpful. I think every marriage, really, even whatever marriage it is under pressure in our culture. Our culture is almost pushing against the idea of marriage and love and true self-giving. And it's been great to do that on Friday. We've got one more session to do in a couple of weeks.
Brilliant. Thank you. Since we don't run the marriage courses for those who's perceive their marriage is in crisis. These marriage courses are to strengthen and enrich our marriages ongoing. We all need time where we can just think about our marriage and the busyness of life. And this is a great way of doing that in a really helpful and structured way. And it's been a value to me and to Ros as we've done some of the thinking on it and as we've met with others in doing that as well. Of course, pastoral care is going to be a growing issue, particularly as we grow, and we're working on a pastoral care team that are kind of getting together to think about the overall picture of our pastoral care and how we make sure that no one falls through the net, as it were. But we want to be a church that is one anothering one another. But we also want to be a church that is upward looking in worship and prayer. And another significant mark of the church in Acts is their devotion to the Lord. So we read Acts 2:42. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship, to the breaking of bread and to prayer. And we want to be a church that's devoted to the word, that's devoted to prayer. It's one of the values that we identified. And we want to be thinking how we do things. And under this heading would come the preaching. And obviously Graham and I take on the bulk of that and the planning of that with the elders. But how we do music and our service leading and stewarding and our prayer meetings would come under this kind of area. We want to be a church that's devoted to the Lord. And then we want to be a church that's sending gospel workers to the world. Acts 13 talks about now in the church at Antioch, there were prophets and teachers, Barnabas, Simeon, Lucius, Manon, and Saul. And while they were worshipping the Lord and fasting, the Holy Spirit said, "Set apart for me Barnabas and Saul for the work to which I have called them." So after they had fasted and prayed, they placed their hands on them and sent them off. And we'd love just to send people off, not because we don't love them, but because we want them to take the gospel to other people in this land and abroad. And Joel Upton's going to come and share a little about what we've been trying to do in this area. Joel.
So I had a nice jazzy slideshow, but I didn't get it to Aaron in time. How many mission partners we support? Shout out a number.
9.
12, 9?
4, 6, 8.
So we have 9. There are 6 of them we support financially and 3 through prayer. Well, we support 9 through prayer, but... before I came on board, we had a lot more. So we've managed...
Good job, Joe.
Yeah. So the reason for kind of condensing them down is so we can have a more of a personal relationship with these guys. We don't want to just have lots on our books that we receive these letters and we don't really pray for or do anything about that. So we've condensed them down and we have people in across Africa and Mali and Kenya and in Central Asia and in India and up in Luton as well, and Hungary. So something we are striving to do is give you regular updates. So you should receive an email from me every month. You probably haven't received one for a few months, and that's probably my fault. So I'm trying to build up this digest just so you have a small little email that gives you prayer points about our mission partners, just so we can be praying for them, because I know mission partners send huge emails, which aren't always easy to read, so that's kind of our heart, is to condense them so into digest, so we can actually be praying for these guys. Another thing we want to be doing is bringing them into Skype. We've done that a couple of times this last year, is Skyping these guys where they are, and we want to do that more regularly in our Sunday services, so we can just be talking to them and we can hear from them and just have that open personal relationship with them. We are looking into ways of community groups adopting a mission partner. So you can kind of have that mission partner that you as a community group are really focusing on praying for and things like that. But we also want to be equipping us to go and serve through maybe short-term mission, and if people have a heart to serve longer, then we want to open that door and provide information and resources to do that. So we're thinking of short-term mission to go and see some of our partners, or whether that be in Luton or whether that be over in Mali. So yeah, we're looking into those options, but yeah, do come and talk to me if you ever want to get more engaged with our mission partners.
Thank you. It's worth saying that we've been talking with Simeon and Gemma and the Merritts, and talking to them about the idea of sending out short-term teams just for a couple of weeks to give people a flavour of mission. They're very keen. We just need to find the people and the time to do that. But we'd love it, and maybe there's something today you go, oh, I'd love to do that. I'd love to just know a little bit more. I'd love to think a little bit longer term about being sent from this church to be one of the missionaries. And so talk to us about that. I hope you've seen this morning where we're trying to go. We want to be a generous church and begun to see what this has begun to look like and put some ideas out there. But we want to spend some time now for the next half an hour just kind of getting you guys talking about it. So I'm going to split you up into eight groups, and you have a free hand to go to whichever one of these areas you would like to go to. We have some big posters down here that you can write on. And then we're going to keep those up throughout the rest of the weekend so that you can just come in and add to them if you don't get to add to the ones that you want to today. And we also have post-it notes. So what we want is ideas on the posters, but names on the yellow. So if this is an area that you think, actually, I really want to think some more, be involved in the planning as we go forward, put your name on there so that we know. And if you've got a particular idea or a particular area of a ministry that you want, you know, so I love the idea of doing something with internationals. Put your name, Mark, the internationals, and put it on reaching the unreached for Jesus. So just thinking about those kind of things would be good. I need some helpers, don't I, who are going to... Does that make sense? Everyone happy? Excited?
Yes.
Okay. Some are excited.
You want eight helpers?
I think we need eight helpers, yeah. I need someone who would like to think about growing the church. Everyone wants to think about that, but... Okay.
So, the person needs to find that, put it somewhere on one of these...
Down the sides.
Down the sides, gather a little group around, and move the chairs. They move these chairs, they're amazing. Do you know what? Someone came and set them on straight. Very nice, though. Well, there wasn't the church, was
it? Yeah, there is. But for now, just right on the floor. Yeah.
We need some